It's Thursday, July 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone got a great show lined up for you tonight, and lots to share with you, and got some cool stuff for you. I think it's going to be an exciting show for you, but you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content over here. Of course, check out our archive podcast via the podcast link on the website, and make sure that you get subscribed to all of our shows. Don't forget, we've got The Gadget Professor with a new edition every Thursday. We've got Robot Underpants that just came out yesterday. Of course, we had the Saturday Morning Tech Show that was released on Saturday, and of course, the Chrome Show as well that came out on Sunday. Lots of content here, 5 to 6 hours of tech news and information for you to really consume every week. We hope that you'll get subscribed to all of our shows. And of course, you can find a link to those subscription buttons right on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Oops, we don't want to play that again. You guys already heard that. Let's try that button there and bring it up. But anyway, the orange box here on the second column of the website has links to the audio, video, special media feed, morning tech show, and so forth, whether it be RSS, iTunes, Zune, whichever way you want to consume the content, we've got it there for you. And of course, hey, we're here for you every week, bringing you lots of great content. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers and listeners to the and viewers of the show. We want to thank you very much for being here and being part of the family. It's been an interesting weekend. The kids and I are surviving. Shoko is going to be coming back from Japan on the 25th of Japan. 25th of July, 25th of Japan. I'm excited. 25th of July. And so she'll be here 4 or 5 days, and then I'll actually go on travel again. So kind of crazy, but we'll get a few days together to decompress. But situation in Japan is still touch and go with her dad. This thing could turn out to be a long, drung out ordeal. But they're going to have a couple more meetings with the doctors here in the next day or so to kind of figure out, you know, what the course of action is. But anyway, she's going to come home irregardless, one way or the other. She'll be home. And the house is still doing real well. We actually took time this weekend and we did a run through of the whole place to make sure that it just prepping for her arrival, because that's the last thing I wanted to be as upset when she gets home. Of course, if you're one of our listeners from 182 countries, we want to thank you for being here and, of course, being part of the family. And make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter really gets sent out immediately following the show, and it contains everything that I covered during the podcast, including any emails that have come in from listeners and viewers like you. If you guys have comments on today's show, you can send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. And I need to move a template item here. And I don't think that's the one we want. But you can call the show hotline as well at 619-342-7365. And of course, email is geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You know, what's happened is since the since I'm doing like three different shows a week now, if I don't restack my titles when it comes to how I have stuff laid out from one show to the other, I totally screw myself. And that's what's going on tonight. So looking like a rank amateur, that's for sure. But anyway, we're having fun. Okay, make sure if you got a Roku or Boxy, hey, we're on those devices on the Tech Podcast channel there. So definitely check us out on either the Roku or Boxy and Samsung IPTV as well. So be advised there. And of course, we're streaming live tonight on Ustream. I had a little bit of challenges with Ustream tonight. For some reason, it didn't want to kick into record mode. So the stream is up running, but nothing's getting recorded. So we'll get that on replay. Hey, I want to take just a second here, of course, and give a warm thank you to our sponsors. Geek News Central, of course, is sponsored in part by GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. We've got lots of great codes for you to use, but I've got a special deal for you right now. And this is really the ultimate hosting deal. It's a great way for you to get started with GoDaddy. You get 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 a month. And really, all you got to do is when you get to geeknewscentral.com, you find the link in my show notes that'll actually drive you directly to this page that I'm showing you. If not, you get over there and pick up the economy hosting plan yourself and you get to the checkout counter. You can use the promo code GEEK77. That's GEEK77. And it'll get you that special offer. Now, here's the trick. During the first 3 months, you'll get the $1.99 per month pricing plan. Then at the end of the 3 months, when you renew, it kicks up to, I think, $3.99 or $4.99. It's a couple, $2 or $3 more per month. But what you do is go ahead and sign up for another year. And then come over to geeknewscentral.com before you check out /GoDaddy, and you'll find all of my promo codes. I've got a huge list of promo codes for you to use. And really, there's ones there from 15% on any order, $20 or more. You can save 20% even on a 1-year share hosting account even right now by using the code Todd20. So you could use that. You can use promo code Todd to save 10% on any order whatsoever. Of course, if you're renewing a .com or buying a .com for the first time, ComSale and ComSale 2 are two codes that you can use there. But all of them are over there at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So definitely check out all the codes, and you can see a link to it up there on the screen if you're watching the show tonight. We've been signing up a few folks to be our eyes and ears at conferences, and I'm pleased on how the response has been so far. So if you're going to a tech or social media conference, and it's a national event or it's something that's relatively large or niche, definitely drop me a line here. And we are hiring freelance writers to cover the event. It doesn't require you to do a lot of work, essentially 4 or 5 blog posts during the time of the show on topics that you want to talk about, things that you're finding interesting about a specific event. Maybe take a few pictures as well and include those in your post. But we're hiring freelance people that are already scheduled to attend an event. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to help you. If you paid $1,000 to go off to a show, and basically you'll go as one of our freelance writers, and we'll be able to have a flat rate that we pay you for that coverage, and it gets you a little cash in pocket for the event and gets us some coverage on some specific events. So if you're interested in doing that for us, geeknews@gmail.com, that's a place to email me. Tell me which conference you're going to. And then I'll send you back the details on how you get aligned to do that. Now, if we've already found a person for a specific conference, we're not going to double up. We're only going to do one person per conference, unless it's huge and we need to do two. But this is a great way for you to get some exposure as well, because we'll be talking about that content here and specifically talking about your articles and the contributor as well. So consider doing that, and email me here if you want to be one of our freelancers. We've got one more sponsor going to be launching, but tonight we're relaunching the GoToMeeting campaign, and they got some exciting stuff coming, folks. I can't talk about it yet. Let me look at the calendar. We're 12 days away from something that's pretty spectacular that's going to be introduced by Citrix GoToMeeting. You know, right now you can have online meetings. You can use it as a tool to do business collaboration between two different people, or 3 or 4 or 5, or up to how many the license that you buy. The basic license starts with 15 users. And you can have that conferencing solution so that you don't have to get in the car and drive across town. And matter of fact, I was talking with the folks at Citrix, and what they found during Carmageddon that's never really happened was that companies were picking up a license and they were doing business across town in LA with GoToMeeting for the very first time. And I thought, what a cool way to do a little telecommuting and be able to do online business and not have to worry about getting a car and fighting the traffic, which I guess there wasn't because of the 405 closure. But, you know, you can join a meeting in seconds. There's really no technical headaches whatsoever. You just start a meeting and start. It's easy to set up. You can schedule a secure meeting as well. It's all secure, so you don't have to worry about someone spying on you or not. But with GoToMeeting, you can do everything from sales calls to project meetings really right there from your own desk. I use this on a daily basis. It's a tool that I use quite often. Matter of fact, as many times I'll leave the session open and team members from Raw Voice will pop in and pop out. And actually, we will actually do conference calls and sessions right here from, I basically sit at my desk. And I get hollered at by, sometimes I don't even, not even paying attention. And Angelo will say, Todd, are you there? And it'll come across a speaker because he's basically in the session and I'm not paying attention to it. I bring it to the forefront. So it's kind of cool. But GoToMeetings make your meetings more cost and time efficient. And basically, you can get, as a listener of this show, you can get a free trial for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free by visiting GoToMeeting.com. This is how you get that free trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com with the promo code PODCAST. I got all the windows open up here tonight, and the wind's blowing quite a bit, and we're getting a little carryover. I heard someone out there is talking with someone a little loud, so I don't know if you guys heard that or not, but I did. But anyway, we want to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here, and hope that you'll get a trial. But we got still one new sponsor we'll be introducing here. I think probably by the next show, we're waiting for some consumable, actually the deliverables to arrive from the company. And once that's up, boom, we'll launch with it. But let's talk just a little bit about where you can find the show. We're always up Mondays and Thursday nights at techpodcast.com/live or geeknewscentral.com. And of course, we've got a lot of live shows over at Tech Podcast that are happening every week. So definitely check out the lineup of shows over there. All right. Let me look at my stack here. For some reason, feeling unorganized tonight. I had plenty of time to prepare for the show. Just one of those off to a rough start evenings, I think. Do have some feedback from some listeners. We got some listener email and a voicemail. Actually, something came into the hotline. So we'll be playing that and talking about those emails at the end of the show. And again, if you've got comments, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Okay, let's go ahead here and bounce into the content. And I'm going to share one more thing with you guys before we do that. Let me show you this. Have you guys been over to the Ohana store at cafepress.com/Ohana? Store, O-H-A-N-A, store.com. This is a great place to pick up GNC t-shirts. We've got mugs, caps, stickers, coffee mugs. You name it, we've got it. Definitely go over there and pick that. This is Sam. Sam, one of our Ohana out of Albuquerque, has launched this for us and maintains it. All kinds of stuff, totes, ladies' shirts as well. So, fellas and ladies, definitely check out the Ohana store at cafepress.com/Ohana store. So he's got a pile of stuff in there. I guarantee you there's something in there for somebody and it helps support the show as well. Okay, let's bring up Chrome. And, you know, we're all probably sick and tired of already hearing about what's going on in Washington, D.C. But I had to laugh today because there is a site, WTFNoWay.com. It's a visualization of the United States debt. And I think this is pretty astounding. I've seen these before, but these guys really did a good job. So let me show this to you. So here we've got $100. Here's $10,000. There's a cool million. So as you can guess, these things are going to get bigger. And of course, I've got the screen scrunched down, so we're seeing the ads overlay stuff. So here's $100 million. There's a billion. There's $1 trillion. You can see the semi-truck down there, and you've got those stacks, double stacked, basically those pallets double stacked on top of one another. So it's a huge area. Here's another visual representation. If you think about a football field or a tennis court, it gives you an idea what $1 trillion look like stacked up, just a huge amount of cash. And then if you put $15 trillion, which is about what they're proposing to push the national debt level to, you can see how that compares to the Statue of Liberty stacked up next to it. It's an amazing amount of money right there. And then you go a little bit further here, and I can't even show it in one screen. So we've got some representation of the Empire State Building. And then here's on the bottom portion of this is the $15 million of current debt. And then the $114.5 trillion of basically this is unfunded liabilities. This is the basically Medicaid, Social Security, military pensions, you name it, is in the big stack here. So pretty cool representation of our dollars and cents. You know, it goes a long way. You go right back here from that sole $100 bill. And then it steps through to the point where, you know, you're seeing $1 trillion. In retrospect, the $1 billion stack, pretty impressive. But if you look at the $1 trillion, it's amazing. They say if you spend $1 million a day since since Jesus was born, you would not have spent $1 trillion by now, only $700 billion. So that's what they're saying. That's about the same amount of money the banks got during the bailout. So while I know that's not techie, I just kind of thought that was kind of fun to share with you and show you that representation. It's kind of cool. Gizmodo's even got into the act this week. It says, tools to help you survive the looming American financial apocalypse. And here's their rendition of this. A handgun with a jar full of money. They're suggesting Bitcoin, gold, a safe, a shotgun. I don't know why they show a Visa card with your iPad, because I think if the things go belly up, the Visa cards aren't going to be able to help us very much. And the guy screaming on his cell phone because his bank account's been completely decimated or something to that effect. But anyway, kind of fun stuff from Gizmodo. All right, enough on that. Let's get into the true tech and science stuff here. Hey, you want to give a happy birthday to John Glenn. John Glenn's 90 years old. And of course, he's an American spice icon. And today he turned 90 years old. So happy birthday to astronaut John Glenn. And boy, it's amazing. It really is here that it's been this many years since the, you know, basically that first flight in 1963. So anyway, many, many more happy birthdays to John Glenn. Hey, Atlantis shuttle, of course, has departed the International Space Station. They have locked up and it pulled away. And they did a video conference call with the president, I think, today. And so there was, of course, the ISS team and also the shuttle team. The shuttle team only had four people on board. So you see there the total occupancy rate at that point was 10. There's six members on the ISS right now. But the four astronauts on the shuttle are on their way back and due for Thursday morning landing at KFC. So look forward to a safe landing and basically an end of an era here for the shuttle program. There is a pretty cool, you know, I love these little, it's essentially a visualized graphic of things that what's a better word for this? It's a visual way to represent stuff. And what this one is this one that talks about how to avoid a large phone bill when traveling. And this happens to a lot of people. They don't think about the charges that they're going to incur when they travel internationally if they don't have an international phone plan. But please, if you're going to travel internationally and you're going to take your phone with you and it's going to be turned on, this is a good tipper here on some tips on what you should do to make sure that you don't end up with a $5,000 phone bill when you got home. And this one here specifically talks about UK and then traveling in Europe. and talks about using a variety of different services, including even Skype, which I use a lot when I travel internationally. But if you need a phone, it talks about the pricing from Orange, O2, T-Mobile, Vodafone, and Three, and some interesting facts on fixed line costs and so forth, and how people are actually calling home from the UK when they're on a holiday or on business. So this is a nice tipper for Europe, but I will say this: if you're traveling to Asia, it's always the best thing to do is to basically rent a phone. And that's what I always do when I travel to Asia. You can go online. There's a multitude of services. And basically, the phone arrives before you depart. So you can get it charged and get your telephone numbers programmed in. It's rent for a specific period, a week, 2 weeks, whatever you're going to be. And it's relatively, not super inexpensive, but for a couple $100, you can have a phone that you'll be guaranteed will work in-country. People can call it direct. And that you're not going to get totally hammered on calls back to the United States, especially if you don't have a phone that will work in a country that you're going to. So I always basically rent a phone when I'm going to Asia. And I've even rented data cards as well to make sure I have internet access. I think the last time I was in Japan for 3 weeks, the two devices together, I think, was about $300. While it may seem like a lot of money, it's a lot cheaper than having that iPhone on and accidentally leaving it on roam or leave the data enabled and coming home to a $5,000 AT&T bill. So be careful out there if you're traveling international this summer or at any time to keep in mind when you're going somewhere. For those of you in the United States, don't remember, if you're boarding Canada and you go across the border, that is in effect too. You can get hammered up there as well, just as easy as you can. Going to Europe. So be aware when you cross the boundary line there that you're more than likely on a foreign cell service. Borders, well, Borders is done. It's toast. They're out of business. They're going to close 399 of the remaining stores. They're laying off 11,000 employees. And they basically couldn't get their financing in order. They've been in trouble for a while now. And so this is the end of it. They're going to close all the stores down. They don't have exact timeline on this, but they're going to start doing clearance sales. So if you're looking to pick up some books, during these sales that they're having, they've got all these big, thick picture books. Those are the best time to get those. They're going on clearance. You can pick up some great stuff to have on your living room table. I think that's probably about the only type of books I bought from Borders in a number of years are those documentary books and A Day in a Life and those types of things. So sad, but they're out. They joined the ranks of companies like Circuit City and other companies that were not able to continue to compete in the digital market space. And Amazon definitely made a major impact on them. So they're on their way out. In the Dumber and Dumber department, a few years ago, we talked about how far back does this go? It goes back more than a couple of years. I think it goes back to the 2006, 2007 timeframe. Remember we talked about Belgium newspapers that were fighting and basically telling Google, don't link to us. And if you do, you got to pay us. And there was this big lawsuit that was in works. Well, those newspapers have won their lawsuit. Google no longer links to them or sends traffic to them. And lo and behold, what are they doing? They're complaining. There's a news report that they're complaining about the harsh retaliation from Google from dropping them from Google's index. So I think the author of this sums up my thoughts as well. He says, so let me get this straight. When Google links to them, it's theft. But when they don't link to them, it's harsh retaliation. How does that work? What did they expect? They sued Google. They wanted money from them. They won the lawsuit. They got money from them. They got a settlement. And they said, don't link to us no more. And Google said, okay, we removed you from the index. Well, they didn't want them specifically linking to their news. They've lost all their juju in search. They're not in there. So, of course, They probably looked at their logs and are like, where did all our traffic go? Well, when you're not in the world's largest search engine, you're screwed. So what are they going to do? Ask forgiveness and give the money back? I don't think so. Google's introduced a new URL shortener, but this is kind of a special one. This is not one that you and I are going to use, but this isn't one that Google itself is going to use, and they will only use it to point to pages pointing internally to Google. So what they have bought, they bought the g.co domain. So it's g.company. And so what they're saying here really is that every time you see a g.co/ whatever it may be, you know that you can trust that link in whatever article, whatever site you see it on, because only Google has created the link to link back to something. They are not going to allow the public to use this, so you don't have to worry about being sent off to some adult site or some site that loads your computer up with malware. So they've got some information over on their official Google blog. I have that up in the show notes. I found this original article over at lifehacker.com. We've been talking about a lot here recently about data usage on your mobile devices. And my data usage has been, every month I'm a 2.5 gigs is about what I'm using now on my iPhone. It's actually up quite a bit from what it was. But there's a new iPhone app out there, and this is a pretty nice app. This is called the Data Usage Pro. It tracks your iPhone's data utilization. And all you got to do, and I think it's called I don't know how they list it in the Apple Store. It may be under MDUP or under My Data Usage Pro. You'll be able to find it. I do believe that you have to pay for it. I think it's 99 cents. And it's going to keep track of your, you're putting in your billing cycle day. It's going to tell you how much cellular data usage you have, what your limit is. And then it's basically going to measure exactly how much you used within a billing cycle. And you'll be able to reset it, and it'll reset itself. But it's pretty cool. It's a nice little app. And I'm definitely going to be playing with it just to see how well it really works. And if it does keep good track of data usage and whether or not it seems to miss anything or not. I'm almost sure that this is going to have to run continuously in the background. And the thing that worries me about apps like this is unless they're pulling the data from somewhere specific, it's going to use some resources, I would think. So anyway, we'll play with it and see how it works. If any of you get it, let me know how you like it. If you download it and check it out yourself. Again, My Data Usage Pro. It's 99 cents in the Apple Store. How many of you would like to have a roof that was painted white? Former President Bill Clinton thinks every black roof in New York City or in New York State should be white. He said every roof in Chicago should be white. Every roof in Little Rock should be white. Every flat tar surface roof anywhere. In most of these places, he says you could recover the cost of the paint and the labor in a week. He doesn't see how much paint and labor is here in Hawaii. He said he noted that Mayor Bloomberg started a program to hire and train young people to paint New York roofs white. The president said a big percentage of kids have been able to parlay this simple work into a higher skilled training programs of energy retrofit jobs. He says the benefits will not only cool roofs and lower the utility bills in every apartment house 10-20%, but it frees cash that can be spent to increase the economy. So basically, what you're not going to have to spend to keep your house cool, those dollars will go back in your pocket. But I would only think, especially if you live in a relatively tall building, the only apartment that's going to get any real utilization out of that is the top floor one. Of course, if you have a flat and it is, you know, you're the only, you know, it's maybe a two-story job, you're definitely going to get some impact there. But who wants their roofs white? Can we come up with a different color? Or better yet, how about some paint that does a good job of reflecting heat and UV. I just can't imagine having, you know, my mom's here in Hawaii. We have a lot of a natural looking, there's not too many roofs that are actually put down with black shingles. You don't see any of that. It's a different type of shingle, more natural. And I can't imagine having white roofs in my neighborhood. I think that would just like lower the complete valuation of the community. It would just look ugly. It really would. But I don't think it would save me any money because I don't run AC. We don't have to run AC anyway. We just open up the windows and get a nice trade wind. It's usually blowing through. All right. Verizon is, well, let me go back to that last article. Would you choose to have your house white, to make it the roof white? I don't know. I don't know if I'd do that. Anyway, let us know what you think. Call the show hotline, 619-342-7365, or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, Verizon is going to be busting out some more LTE, and I'm excited because Oahu's on the list. So I'm looking through the list here. It says Aia, Ewa Beach, Haleiwa, Hawaii Kai, Honolulu, Kailua, Kaneohe, Kapolei, Mililani, Pearl City, Wailua, Waikiki, Waipahu. Guess what? My area is on the list, Kapolei. So actually, I'm in Makakilo, but Kapolei is on the bottom. Makakilo is on top, and the towers are even a little higher than me. So I think we're going to be good. But other areas are going to be getting LGE turned on Thursday, as well as Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, Knoxville, Tennessee, Augusta, Georgia, Maui, the Big Island, Oahu, Toledo, Ohio as well. So that's who's getting 4G on Thursday. I'm excited. I have my little Verizon 4G MiFi that I've been really excited to use. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn it on tonight and see what see if they've turned it on early. And I'll let you know on the next show how the data speeds are, all right? Scoble has a good article on Google Plus. I've been spending a lot of time on Google Plus. And a lot of people keep asking me, well, what's the big deal about Google Plus? And it reminds me of the BBS days without the flamers. It's a rich experience. The conversations are very intelligent. There's no spam so far. There's threaded comments. You can see pictures. You can look at videos. But this is what Google says. Why has Twitter turned boring? Number one, pictures and videos. Number two, control over content distribution. No API auto pushing of content. I think that's the best. So we're not getting automated bots, people jamming stuff into the feed. And that first time I see someone do that, I'm killing them. They're going to go in the block folder. Signals are visible from who you are excited, and also who you made upset. And I had one of those. I actually had a reply from Mark Kanner kind of dogging me on one of my posts this weekend. And some other people came in there and made some posts as well. And it's an auto-flowing. So, I'm reading my reading the chat window. I'll come back to that in a second. But anyway, Google Plus is pretty cool, and I keep talking about it. And if you haven't got an account over there, please let me know if you need one. If you don't have one already, basically it's pretty easy to get an invite. But someone in the chat room on the stream said buffering for 3 minutes. I don't know why it buffered. Yawn. Anyone actually following this chat? Okay, I've sit here and read the news myself. So much for interactivity of live feeds and chat. Do you mean Mojo? You suck. So yeah, I had some. That's nice. Thanks for joining the live chat. And yes, it's 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. I don't think there's a lot of people up at this time of night. Anyway, Scoble has a pretty good write-up on that, so definitely check it out. Hey, over on Torrent Freak, there's been some discussion about a lot of stuff on blocking peer-to-peer sites. And there's been a lot of action, specifically in Italy. And actually, the Italian authorities suing ISPs are actually going after them. for not blocking sites that they've been requested to do so. The ISPs are fighting back. And this continues as well in the Finnish music industry as well, where they've requested sites to be blocked, and the Finnish ISPs have basically said, no, we're not blocking sites as well. And there's some new lawsuits on that. So essentially, this is the new norm, is instead of just going after the sites themselves, they're trying to get the ISPs to block them. I think we're seeing more of that here as well. But, you know, the battle is the same across the internet. And now in another area, one of the judges that was involved in the injunction in 2009 ordering ISPs to block the Pirate Bay as well, from the Irish Recorded Music Association, he's been getting death threats. So, you know, here we've got the Finnish ISP saying no, fighting it. You've got issues in Ireland with basically the Irish ISPs are fighting it as well. This judge getting death threats. We've got a situation going on in Italy. So the ISPs in some countries are not taking this laying down. Will they win this in the long haul? I don't know. But I think the days of many of these sites are numbered just because they're going to be blocked at the IP level. All right, let's talk a little bit about a new feature in Google Docs. And this is something that I have found to be a challenge using the Chromebook, was that if someone sends me a zip or a RAR, I don't get too many of those anymore, there was really kind of no way to open that in Google Docs. But now zip and RAR support is now available in the Google Docs viewer. So that's kind of cool. So now we can, right in the viewer itself, it'll open the zip files and you'll be able to get access to what's within, which is pretty cool from, you know, if you're using the Chrome OS. And of course, if you haven't checked out the Chrome show, please do so at thechromeshow.com. Episode 3 was on Sunday and I had a great episode. I think you guys will like what I put together for 3. I feel much better about the viability of that program over the long haul as well. So definitely check it out. And this new feature available in Google Docs, if you're using that, you now can open zips and any RAR type of files. Hey, let's cover a couple of articles that were at Geek News Central as well. Trucker Tom has written an article. And again, you know, the thing I like about the writers at GNC is I do not lay down rules. And I allow them to have their own opinion and write how they feel. And Trucker Tom wrote an article, Are We All Thieves? And basically, he goes on to talk about maybe it's time that all of us start being honest with ourselves and making sure that we're paying for movies and music and stuff that we get over the internet and not going out and bootlegging stuff into our hard drives. He says, Trucker Tom says, those who continue to rationalize that it's okay to illegally download copyrighted music, movies, and other copyrighted materials are thieves. Would you enjoy having your stuff stolen? Are excuses popping up in your mind why wrong is right and right is wrong? If so, you fail the test. If you have to make an excuse to yourself or anyone else to justify your behavior, you are wrong. If you find yourself the victim of a thief, how can you then turn around and complain? Isn't that calling the kettle black? And I guess while I've always said on this show that I don't advocate basically stealing or taking material that you don't own, I also do understand the challenges. Some of you have maybe actually getting access to content. I do understand that with the, you know, the arbitrary rules that the media creators put in place, a lot of people outside of the United States cannot get access to movies and can't get access to American programming. And I think that's a shortcoming on the content creator side and not making that content available. They're always looking, though, to resell that package of shows into foreign markets, and that's where they make more money on the programming. But at the same point, you know, be honest with you, I between Roku, between the Boxy, between the Google TV, my Apple TV, and my Voodoo box. So that's five different boxes. And having cut the cord, my overall bill on a monthly basis to legally get all the content that I want, that I want to watch, that is, you know, where I'm not bootlegging anything, is running about $30. And that includes my Netflix subscription. That includes stuff that I'm renting from Redbox or anything I'm buying individually on subscription basis. Now that might be $35 or so, but still, as compared to what I was paying before, $120 to the cable company to have my cable connection, you know, for me, it's just as easy to buy or rent something. And most stuff that I want to see that's old is in one of those video repositories that I've already paid access to. So I'm able to get that. So what do you think? What do you guys think? You know, this is, you know, Trucker Tom takes a very tough outlook on folks on downloading stuff. But the question is, do you have an argument with this article? And I understand it can be frustrating getting access to certain types of content. And we have to live within those major media companies' rules, or we have to decide whether or not we are going to try to live on alternative media and or media like this. Now, one thing I will do at the end of the show is one of our longtime listeners out of Chicago left me a very long, detailed voicemail that kind of talks about basically being able to find good alternative content. And it's an email, basically a voicemail that I immediately forwarded to my team. I said, you guys got to listen to this. Some good points in here. So I understand discoverability can be a challenge when you're working with these devices and trying to find stuff that makes sense. It's put together in a consistent basis and available. And we'll talk, you know, we'll share more on that at the end of the show, with his voicemail. I think it goes right into what Trucker Tom put on the website at Geek News Central. So anyway, love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Again, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Also, if you're looking for a Google Plus article, be very careful. Jeffrey Powers, one of our contributors, basically said that there's some malware links out there right now. People are so desperate to get a Google Plus account that they're clicking on anything. And just be real careful where you're going on the web to get your invite. KL also did a great write-up on Slacker Radio versus Spotify. And matter of fact, her article got the attention of the folks over at Slacker Radio. I got an email from them this afternoon. So I sent her the information from the rep over there. And she's actually going to get a premium account from Slacker Radio to run it through its paces and do a full-blown comparison between the premium offering of Slacker and the premium offer of Spotify. So hopefully within the next 3 or 4 days, we'll see a new post by Kim on this one. So anyway, good write-up by Kim on the deltas that she's seeing between Slacker Radio and Spotify. John C. Dvorak has a good article over on his website. Let me bring this up on the site here, and we're going to talk about something that's pretty scary. This article goes into how Homeland Security is using face recognition programs to determine whose licenses they're going to cancel. A gentleman by the name of John Gass, G-A-S-S, hadn't had a traffic ticket in years, and he lived in Natick. I don't know what state that is, but he lived in the city of Natick. And he was surprised this spring when he received a letter. It's from in Massachusetts, where he received a letter from the Registry of Motor Vehicles informing him that his driver's license had been revoked. And apparently he has a lot of company. Last year, this new facial recognition program being used by Homeland Security picked out more than 1,000 folks that resulted in people being improperly flagged as having a driver's license. And even though those folks are guilty of nothing, they had to then go into their local registry, the local driver's license registry, and prove they were who they said they were. And, you know, birth certificate, And I don't know if they're making them give their firstborn child to him or not as well. But can you imagine? You just get it. Hey, your driver's license has been revoked. Well, why? Well, our face recognition program determined that you're a terrorist or you're someone that shouldn't have a driver's license, something to that effect. Wow. Isn't this like crossing state lines? Isn't there supposed to be a separation there? The federal government works right here on federal stuff, and the states take care of local driver's license. So that means that the federal agencies are coming into the local DMVs and accessing their databases and matching people up that they think should not have a driver's license for whatever reason. How can they do that? How can Homeland Security be doing that across? Isn't there supposed to be a, you know, there's supposed to be some separation there? I guess at this point, the lines have blurred, haven't they? Are you a NASCAR fan? Do you want a shot at $3 million to share with fans and charity? Well, they've got a great promotion going on. Sprint Promotion gives drivers a shot at $3 million prize to share with their fans and with a charity. And basically, as a fan, you can go over and enter on the Sprint site. And you can pick the winners. And basically, they're doing it in conjunction with the race that's going to be happening at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And I don't know if you have to be there to win. Probably not. It's probably a national thing where you can just go in and register and maybe have a chance. But this is a big promotion. And $3 million, Sprint, really? $3 million? That's your advertising promotion? Wow. Interesting way. But NASCAR fans are hardcore. I like watching NASCAR once in a while, but I don't get a chance too often. Hey, there's a great article over on itworld.com. 7 days in the cloud, my week with the Samsung Chromebook. And this is an article by Stephen J. Vaughn Nicholas. I'm not going to go through this whole article, but if you want to see what it's like to live 7 days on a Chromebook alone, I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. He's found some of the same exact things I have and using the Chromebook, but he also found some cool tips that I'm going to be sharing with you guys next week on the Chrome Show. If you read the article, you're not going to need to watch the Chrome Show. So isn't that nice? Infrastructure. This is one of those ads on the site that automatically launches. And I wonder if I refresh this page, if it'll go away. Probably not. But it hasn't been playing the whole time. That just sucks. Don't you hate that? Autoplay stuff. Ugh. So maybe I won't link that up in the show notes. But anyway, over on TroyHunt.com, they looked at some of the recently breached accounts, and they wrote a brief password analysis. They did a brief password analysis on the Sony usernames and passwords. And I thought we'd saw something on this before, but let me share with you some of their results that they found. He said passwords are relatively short, usually 6 to 10 characters, simple. He said less than 1% had a non-alphanumeric character and predictable when more than a third were in common password dictionary. What was even worse, though, was uniqueness. 92% of common accounts in the Sony system reused passwords, and even when I looked at the when they looked at the totally unrelated system, Gawker reuse was still very high, with over two-thirds of common email addresses sharing the same password. They went in then and looked at how people chose their password, and what they were able to determine was the primary three sources of data were people's names, places, and direct words out of the English dictionary. And that's insane. Folks, don't do that. And if you do use common words, use a combination. GZ, a word, exclamation point, another word, asterisk, asterisk. Use a high, you know, change your characters up. Or better yet, just get one of the programs out there that automatically creates a password for you. And, you know, it can be very complex. It's not meant for you to remember. But don't be using the same passwords over and over and over and over again. It's going to get It's going to get many of you in a lot of trouble. It's going to get a lot of you hacked. You know, and for goodness sakes, don't use a simple password for your banking password either. Never, you know, that's something you should, you know, put in the old memory block. But they go real deep into this. And passwords that were derived from a person's name, 14%. Most popular names being used, Maggie, Michael, Jennifer. People using numbers, one or two digit numbers. And then they were using a place. Number one was Dallas. Number two was Canada. Number three was Boston. And then using dictionary words. Of course, the top word, the top password was password. The second was monkey. Number three was dragon. Thousands upon thousands of those were used over and over again. And of course, the number one in numeric was 16, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Come on, people, we can do better than that. And then a lot of passwords are comprised of double words, blah, blah, popo, love, love. These were all basically were just common. And some folks actually used, okay, let's say your email is imanucklehead@gmail.com. Their password is imanucklehead. So, wow, huge percentage. Big enough that a lot of you are going to get hacked, okay? But a lot of people can't get away from the 1234 or ASDF on the QWERTY keyboard. This is good stuff. This is a goldmine information on how people think. Please don't do any of these things. Please, please, please. Because if not, we're going to hear about you in the news. Okay, some article over at the BBC. And I don't know why this is covered by the BBC and not within the United States ecosystem, news system. But NASA has taken another step to make sure its efforts to replace the shuttle with a commercial launch system is in place. The agency has signed an agreement with United Launch Alliance. And basically, it's going to be using Atlas V rockets for use in human missions. They've had a huge and very, you know, high-level safety record. I think they've done 99 launches since a failure. They've done 26 launches on the new Atlas V. And this contract is going to allow them to continue development on what they call their EDS. And I love this. Emergency Detection System. And what this would do is would give warning to a major malfunction. So if they detect something is, some structures breaking up or something wrong with the rocket, basically this would initiate a crew separation and get them off the rocket before something bad happened. But that's some pretty complex stuff. A lot of stuff can go wrong in a automated, you know, emergency detection system. You have to have some pretty tight parameters there because, you know, machines are machines and they do weird things. And but I guess they figure they can instrument the Atlas V to the point where they'll be able to punch him off if so need be. And, you know, astronauts have been riding rockets for a while, but this will be the first time where they'll actually have probably a true ability to get off the rocket the best they can. Another article over in the BBC, and this is to me is amazing. A 20 million pound, okay, this isn't pound, 20 million pound tool used to dismantle a nuclear site. A 16-piece tool dubbed the world's most sophisticated Swiss Army knife is going to help dismantle the Dunray fast reactor in Cathaness. And it's got tool bits that cost $100,000 each. It's designed to go right in the reactor cell and to be able to pull reactor rods out and do all kinds of stuff. But the UK agency is decommissioning this particular reactor, and they got to break it down. And this tool is going to be used to do that. But They've even got a what they're calling a pipe crawler. It's a device described by its operator as a high-tech worm that was deployed to probe the condition of a pipeline once used to discharge radioactive material from the site. So pretty cool stuff. We'll see where this goes, but probably the most expensive tool used in a nuclear reactor probably has been designed. Little response on where we're at on IPv6 since the IPv6 day. And while this is a super technical article over at Ars, I just want to share with you that they're seeing a dramatic increase in sites that have IPv6 capability. Matter of fact, on my new server that we're building up, we're going to get the IPv6 stuff initiated on it. I've actually done the request to make sure that we have an IPv6 number issued to it. So hopefully that server will be good for both IPv4 and IPv6. I'm excited about this new box. This thing's going to rock and roll. It's about 3 times as more powerful as the one that we're currently running on. It, you know, we've been on this server for a long time. We've been on the primary Geekness Central server since 2005. Mid-2005 is when we launched that. So, you know, this baby's took us away in 6 years, but it's really time to, we want one, to get on new hardware, and number two, to be on a much newer operating system that's more secure and supportable for 2 or 3 more years. And we should have moved it before, but we'd be kind of busy. Kind of busy building the network and building the business. All right, you want a cool 250K? Microsoft is offering a reward for information on the Rustock botnet. So if you have any information that may lead to the arrest and conviction of those individuals, wherever they may be in the world, Microsoft is willing to write you a big fat check for $250,000. Although you be the one to have that info, time to cash in. So they're very serious about going after these guys. Anonymous is back in the news today. Anonymous unleashed a social network. Basically, they're upset because they have been banned from Google Plus. Google basically said, hey, you can't be here. You're doing stuff that is against our community guidelines. And Anonymous has basically said, okay, we're going to build our own so that we don't have to be somewhere where we'll be ousted. And they're going to build a social networking site. So we'll see where this goes. And, you know, a bunch of hackers, programmers, I'm sure they'll do something. So we'll see what they are forthcoming with in the future. It looks like OS X Lion is close. The Apple retail store has been given their golden master copies, and that's basically the disk that's used to update all of the in-store machines. So we should see, and reports are potentially this Wednesday, the launch of OS X Lion. How many of you are going to update immediately? How many are going to make the upgrade? I'm definitely going to do at least one machine right off the bat. We're going to punch it as soon as the update's available and give it a run for its money. We're going to leave a couple of the other primary machines that are used for do some heavy lifting here. We're going to leave them at the current level until we see how stable this new version is. I'm excited to see what's going to happen here with this new version of OS X. All right, CNN. Headline news has become real-time streaming via the iPad. So select customers are now able to stream live content from CNN and Headline News. And this was reported initially by the Wall Street Journal. But currently, the service is limited to customers of Comcast, Dish Network, Cox Communications, Suddenlink, AT&T UVerse, and Verizon Communications. No one from Time Warner can get this yet. So not everyone is going to be able to upgrade to this new iPad app. In total, it touches around 50 million users, and customers must first upgrade to CNN for iPad, and then they got to validate. They got to validate that you have the cable service. How dumb is that? How dumb are they? Oh, you got to validate that you're a customer, that you're paying for CNN already. They don't get it, do they? They really don't. I don't get it. But anyway, the Time Warner users, you're not invited to this party. We've never been anyway, even on the previous version. Hawaii still is not in the loop. Hey, let me share with you what happened to me last Friday. I called. Did I talk about this on the last show, or was it Thursday I made the call? I called Friday to see about getting a higher speed internet here and increase my level of commercial service. And it's only $825 a month to do the upgrade. Only $825 for 5 megs up and 5 megs down. Plus, they have to quote me how much it's going to cost to pull the fiber. Yes, this requires fiber to get 5 megs up and 5 megs down. They had to run me a quote to find out how much it was going to cost to run the fiber the 3,000 feet from where the fiber is located down to my house, and how much that would be to terminate it here. Aren't I glad I live Hawaii? Needless to say, we're not making that upgrade. Can't afford. That's just insane. Insane money. It's just, it's criminal is what it is. But no competition. We get what we get. Hey, the folks that abandoned the Engadget, the writers over there that left in Mast, they are going to be, the new site that they're launching has been named. It's called The Verge. And I don't know if it's going to be at TheVerge.com, but they've already got a sponsor, The Verge, whose charter sponsor will be BMW, will debut this fall. And, of course, it's being funded by the startup SB Nation. So be curious to see how this site does when it launches. Some pretty cool articles here from the folks over at GigaOhm talking about car apps. And everyone's excited now they're going to be able to start developing apps for the car. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a whole different animal, because an app for a car has to go through a whole bunch of quality control, make sure that it's not something that's going to be causing an accident, and it has to be friendly. So it's going to be interesting to see which companies are able to develop a niche in building apps into the different ecosystems like Toyota and Ford, and what's happening at Hyundai and all these different companies. If they're, who's going to get in there is probably going to be making a lot of money. And I know that the both Toyota and Ford are actively courting developers in order to get on the SDK, but I'm sure there's going to be huge safety guidelines on any app that will run in your automobile. And it's kind of scary. It's going to be a scary space to go into to, you know, if you have an app in a vehicle and that person's using your app and then gets in an accident and kills somebody, what's the chances that the app developer, the company that owns the app is going to get sued? In this world, I think pretty doggone high. So, you know, I'd hate to even go out and talk to Lloyd's of London or another company to insure, put the insurance in place to make sure you're covered in case something happened. I don't know if Ford's going to help with protection or not, but it's got to be scary to be in that particular space. Hey, one thing I try to do on the next show is I might start a live active Google Plus Hangout during the podcast. And kind of see how that plays. We're going to do a little test with that on the next show. So if you're up and about, we'll announce it just before the show starts. The most, I think only 15 people can be in the Hangout, but being the time I record the show, it shouldn't probably be much of an issue. All right, in order to get out of here on time, I've got to wrap up because I've got email and this voicemail to play, which is pretty long. Let me go ahead and play the voicemail, then we'll bounce right into the email tonight. I got a bunch of different topics that I didn't get through tonight that are all cool, great stuff. And I'm going to add those to the show notes and they'll be at the very bottom of the page. So if you get to the bottom and say, he didn't talk about that, it's because we're essentially running out of time here. And also tonight's show, we're making the full switch. We did the last show. We put the mobile feed out and we also have the higher quality feed. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to punch the main feed, the high def, and then the second feed will be mobile, will be the lower quality, smaller feed, and it'll give you two choices to pick. And that way we'll have a better quality for the Roku and Boxy. And for those of you that want to watch this thing in the full HD glory, or those of you that are more willing to watch it in a smaller screen. So I think tonight we're going to roll this video, the primary video, and we'll have information for you in the show notes on how to subscribe to the new feed. And we'll probably do some lower thirds starting next show to talk about the two different feeds that are available for video. So just be aware of that, because the download's definitely going to get bigger for the HD side. All right, here comes the voicemail from our fan in Chicago.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. I hope you're doing well, and just wanted to call you and thank you for all the work that you do. I've fallen a little bit behind on listening to the podcast, and I'm just trying to get caught up right now. And, you know, it's one of those realizations that I really enjoy the content that you bring to the, you know, to the show. It may be content that many of us can find on our own, but I like your perspective, and I also like your take on where new media and where things are going, and it's really fresh. So I appreciate that. So thank you for sharing that with your audience. I got a question. I got a comment regarding the study. I think it was in the last program regarding, you know, 2 out of every 5 TV watchers enjoys watching live television. I think we have to define what live is, because
True.
You and I both know that live, to me, or there's really not any live TV other than basically your 10 o'clock news, you know, when you get right down to it. And, you know, I was thinking about how there's more often than not. And I think what we're all forgetting is that we are creatures of habit to some extent. And while we like to, you know, TiVo and record our shows and watch them later, we also look forward to when programs are on. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I can tell you when I do find a program that I do enjoy, I do look forward to watching it every week. So, you know, you've said it time and time again, for anybody to put out good content, you have to do it on a regular basis. And I think that's where, you know, the cable network and all those people are losing it. They have 300 channels of crap, and it takes you longer just to find anything to watch, let alone find something that's worthwhile of coming back to. What I think some of the channels that, like Roku, lack, I've got a Roku box, and I really enjoy some of the channels that they've put out there, but I think what they sometimes lack is some of the programming over there is not regular scheduled programming. So, you know, there was a few channels that my family enjoys watching. I think there's like some kind of experiment program where a guy does all these experiments, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it's got a couple ads in it, not a big deal. But there are basically 4, and we watched all 4 of them in one night. So I don't know. I think if there's a way that, you know, this is my perspective, and, you know, I grew up in a generation where TV, you know, you had to get off your butt to go change a channel on the TV, and you only had 7 channels to choose from. So really, it wasn't this mess of channels filled with nothing. So I think what really the media channels like Roku and Boxy, all those guys, I think what they have to do, and even with the Blueberry Network that you've got, is create a way that people don't have to look too hard to find the content that interests them. And then at the same time, once they find it, they don't have to work too hard at knowing when it's going to be on, like Geek News Central. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but yeah, if I knew a show is going to be produced every Monday or every Tuesday or whatever, I would definitely look for that each week. But, you know, it's too bad that, you know, we can't go back to a time where the TV guide is still there, even though I really wouldn't want to go back to that time. But, you know, with Comcast, we've got a situation where I can scroll through the guide and look through the channels or like 4 or 5 that I like to watch. So, you know, if we can kind of, you know, if the online media creators or channels like Blueberry and anybody who puts a channel up on Roku can figure out a way of really, you know, scheduling programming in different categories, which you already do, but also coming up with like a list of, you know, this is what's going to be produced on this day, this day, this day, this day. And I think it would build an audience much better than when content is not produced. Because when I listen to podcasts and they don't get produced on a regular basis, I forget about them. And then even when they come into my iPod, I don't really care as much. So, but you've said it time and time again, regular scheduled content and providing on a regular means is huge. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because the cable companies just don't get it. They totally don't get it, and they keep running the same. There's too much time, and there's not enough good content to throw out there. So anyway, but keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the feedback. And those are all great points and a lot to ponder about. And like I said, I forwarded that up to my team for them to listen to, because I think there's some very valid points there. It's just, you know, part of it too is in the and the ability to get it programmed and get it so that it's set. And that's, you know, get it where there's a schedule where you'll know. And, you know, it's, and people have lives and, you know, in the new media space, and they don't always stay on schedule. So it can be discouraging when you go to that and you're expecting to see new content and it's not there. Hey, folks, we're out of time. So I'm going to leave the emails to the next show. Apologize for doing that, but I want to thank Robert, Jack, Miss Small Biz, and Jeffrey for sending in emails. One of them came in via Google+. So I'll have those for the next episode. I won't forget you. I'll go back in and read them. Just we're out of time here. I'm trying to stay within the confines of the show time limit. But everyone, thanks. Thanks for coming out and hanging out. And even the guy that wasn't real happy in the live stream, hey, win some, lose some. So what, right? But definitely email me here at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. We'll be back with you on Thursday for a live show. And of course, the podcast will be released Friday morning. And thanks for staying subscribed. Send us your feedback. Love to hear it as always. Until next time, everyone, take care and aloha.